Once again, it's the ZA Confidential Wine Tasting Podcast, and today we are tasting a wine. It's in my glass now. Smells very nice, but before we get onto the wine itself, we'll go to our fragrantly smelling and tasting wine tasters. We have Jeff Osborne, who heads Gumtree Auto. We have Mike Schussler, a well-known economist. We have Chris Gilmore, who's a star of TV, radio, newspapers, all sorts of stuff. Nothing interesting, I'm afraid. It's just business commentary and all that sort of rubbish. And finally, we have our guru of food, wine, and all other gastronomic delights, Michael Olivier. Michael, and gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you, John.
So, Michael, what are we tasting?
We've got a Hartenberg Riesling 2017. I think I must just talk a little bit about Riesling. In South Africa, we have a tradition of Riesling. It was discovered that it was a Pyrenean grape called Cruchon Blanc. There was a whole set to in the 90s as to what is Riesling and what isn't Riesling. Riesling had to be referred to as either Rhine Riesling or Weisse Riesling. Anyway, there was a massive compromise, and Cruchon Blanc was allowed to be called Cape Riesling. And then the German Riesling, the real Riesling, was, well, you could just simply put Riesling on your label. Now, the Riesling is one of my favorite grapes. Janice Robinson, the great British wine writer, she refers to it as the greatest white wine grape in the world. One of the things that I really like about this wine is that it gives me everything that I expect a wine to give me. It's got this lovely sort of flinty, minerally, chalky nose with that sort of undertow of terpene, benign turpentine, petrol-y sort of nose, which is quite floral. And then it rushes into your mouth and absolutely fills your palate with this wonderful fruit and the most incredible acidity. And it's a kind of acidity which I really enjoy because it's there, it's very much present, it's rounded, and it perfectly balances the fruit. The fruit is sweet fruited, but it's a dry wine. And on the aftertaste, with that lovely sort of balance of sweet and sour. Of course, the Riesling grape is used for anything from the driest of dry wines, right through to what the Germans call Trockenbier and Auslese, which is the Botrytis grape. Very, very sweet, unctuous, lovely wines. But this one, for me, is really very, very special. I think that it would go really well with smoked trout. It, I think, also quite well with Oriental foods, interestingly enough. And it can take a bit of spice too, so that means that if you have a sort of mildly spiced chicken peri-peri, it would be a great partner as well.
Well, Michael, I'm loving it. Beautifully elegant, beautifully balanced, not too sweet, not sweet at all, really. As you say, a great companion to many a food. I liked your turpentine reference. I'm not detecting any turpentine in this, which is probably a good thing. What do you think, Jeff Osborne?
Yeah, I'm actually delighted to be tasting a Riesling again, and I say that because in my youth, which wasn't all that long ago, I used to love Riesling, in particular Tierneskraal Riesling.
Yes. You remember that select? That's the Cape Riesling.
Right, and it really was a delightful wine.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, Riesling's kind of disappeared. You know, it's no longer on the radar.
Yeah.
So I think this is very, very nice indeed. It's certainly smooth. Overtones of apple cider. Fruity, not too dry.
Mm.
And I think it would complement so many meals.
Yes.
Certainly fish, chicken.
Yeah.
But I'm loving it.
Manchester?
I think it's a wine that stands on its own. That's why everybody talks.
No, it's in a glass.
Yes, it's in a glass. I love it, though, because I think it's got something to it that makes it stand up to stronger spicy dishes, as Michael said.
Yes.
And I think it's not something that you should have some with a mild dish or a non-spicy dish. I think it will overpower that dish. That's my thinking. I think, I don't know how to give a wine a point, say. And I just looked at the cheat sheets here where it says 90 points from Tim Atkins, which is not bad. But I think it's one step away from being brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. But it's a very good wine, make no mistake. I like it.
Good.
Chris?
Yeah, I think Michael's points, I'm picking that up. Lovely. This balance between the fruitiness and the kind of the tart side of it as well. No, this is a lovely wine. Very well balanced. Beautiful.
Michael Oliver, tell us a little bit about Hartenberg, because I have drunk some very, very nice reds from Hartenberg.
Yes. Absolutely.
I don't know their whites very well. I'm delighted to be glugging away at this one. I don't get the impression they're a very aggressive marketer.
Yes, I agree. I think they tend to let the wine talk for itself. Carl Schultz, who's been the winemaker there for a long time, member of the Cape Winemakers Guild, one of his great talents, I think, is extracting from grapes planted on the correct soils the finest possible flavors. His reds, the Merlot, the Shiraz, the Cabernet, are all sensational. And I just love the Chardonnay. They've got one called the Eleanor, which is named after Eleanor Finlayson, who with her husband and son Walter started what was then known as Montagne and became known as Hartenberg. It's a lovely place to visit. They do meals there as well, so you can absolutely from Cape Town make it a destination. It's now owned by the McKenzie family, and one of the Mr. McKenzie was a Spitfire pilot during the Second World War, and like most Spitfire pilots who had to fit into small places, he was well over 6 foot tall and known as the Stork, and there's one of the wines from the safes called the Stork. I think they're making superb wine, and I quite agree with you, they play it under the radar.
Mm. Jeff, was Hartenberg on your radar?
Well, I have had it before, but like yourself, more the reds. I certainly wasn't aware of this one, but I'm intrigued to hear that they have is it unwooded?
No, it's a wooded Chardonnay.
Is it wooded? Wooded Chardonnay.
Serious wine.
Seriously wooded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or no, a serious wine.
Oh right.
You know,
right.
With that lovely supportive oak and bright fruit and just a wonderful glass.
Yeah, I'm totally going to look for that. But this is delightful.
Mm,
this is
good. Mike?
I think I had Hartenbos with you one day when I was eating out. That's where I think I was also red. So I. Also, only a favour with the reds. Mm. I would say it is definitely a very good wines, the reds that they have.
Yeah,
this is not bad at all, but I think they are more known for the reds. I don't know how they play it marketing-wise, but their wines are good.
Yeah, they are.
And Chris, is this an estate you knew much about before?
Yes. As you said, when we bought the bottle out, I thought, oh, that's great. That's a bit of a blast from the past. I used to go to a place in Rosebank called Sophia's. I think they've moved to a Lovo now. And there was always Hartenberg, I've forgotten which ones they were, on the wine list. Always very reasonably priced as well. And I'm fairly familiar with a whole range of Hartenbergs, but strangely enough, I haven't tried the Hartenberg Reds.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting.
Ooh.
Well worth a try.
Okay, well, Michael, maybe at some future rendezvous we can make up for that lapse.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we're almost out of time. Many thanks to all our tasters today, to Jeff Osborne, to Chris Gilmore, to Mike Schussler, and of course to our engineer, Malcolm McDonald, who is beavering away behind the scenes as usual, making sure that I will sound sober and intelligent when you hear this podcast. I'm not sure he'll succeed, but let's hope so. And of course, a final thank you to Michael Olivier, who is, as always, has brought us something worth drinking, worth trying, and worth discussing. I'm John Fraser, and that was ZA Confidential.